we have a couple of guest speakers, Ray Sumi and Tracy Bookrush. They're going to bring dental and medical missions. And
I know that Ray hasn't been on a mission trip in a while, and I know that's where his heart is, so I'm sure that was a delight for him to be able to get out there and help in spreading the gospel in Mexico. So I'm not sure the order who's coming first, but
we'll both come.
Okay, so.
All right, just working. Can you hear me all right? You can? You can wave. All right. I just want to apologize up front here because some of you are trying to come up and say hello to me when I was up here, and we were having computer difficulties getting this to work, and I was ignoring you. Sarah glanced to say hello. I said, sorry, I can't talk to you. I can't do two things at once. People who know me know I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. So it's. And I want to give Tracy a few minutes to say a few words, but I want to ask her to stay here with us because she. I have a lot. I put the slides together, but I want her here to just be able to pipe in and add a few things if she sees anything important. So the only thing up there is the logo, so you go ahead and say anything you want to say up front. And I think.
Okay. So I was just going to share a couple of things before he goes through the pictures. And just a couple of things about the trip. One of the things was that it was just really a blessing for all of us to be able to go to Mexico again. This is the first missions trip that we've done since the pandemic started. I think the last one had been in February. A dental team had gone out to Mexico, but I hadn't been anywhere since January before the pandemic. So it was just a blessing to be there again. And this was only my second time there. They've done many dental trips there, but this is only the second time that medical has been out there. And so we weren't sure how things would be a little bit different with COVID and, you know, what we'd have to do differently. How we would, you know, separate patients and all of that. And the way it worked out was that the church had started making appointments for, you know, slots throughout the day, which they've never done that before. And actually, most places we've been never had that before. And that meant that from the medical side of things, things were a lot slower than we were used to at the first part of the week. Patients were kind of filtering in slowly, which was different than we were used to. It was good for evangelism. They really got to sit one-on-one with people and talk to them, to the people that did come through. But towards the end of the week, when they saw that the appointments wasn't really working out, they had a truck go through with, you know, loudspeaker going through the town. And so second to the last day, and then the last day, it got much busier, and the last day was more of what we were used to, but it was much busier then. But it was really a blessing to be there. And another thing that stood out to me was just the church there, and just their love for each other and for ministry. And it was a blessing to see even their young people, like the teenagers, would be sitting one-on-one sharing the gospel with people during the clinic, and the church members just all like working together. They did, some ladies from there did the meals for us each day during the clinic. And everyone that came through heard the gospel one-on-one. They all sat down with them. And some of the people even came back after they got their medical treatments or their dental treatments. They went back and talked with them more. And there was, you know, a couple of people that stood out to me. There was one lady that came through and she was bringing her, I think she was one or two, maybe two-year-old daughter, small child, and the husband had just passed away a few weeks before, and so she was bringing the girl in, she said, because she wasn't eating. And that was the reason she was bringing her, and when she was sitting down to do the triage, she just started crying. And so the translator was telling me that she had been had started coming to the church there, and the church people had really been ministering to her, and she had gotten saved and had been attending church there. So, and the people, like you could see, they were just, you know, we were able to pray with her, and it was just a blessing to see how the church people ministered to her during that time. And there was another man who we were walking during the during the lunch times, and there was very few people that spoke English, but this man did, and he came up and started talking to Brian as we were walking, for lunch, and mostly because he wanted to ask for money and things like that. And he told him that he was on his way to the border to try to cross to the States. But he walked the whole way back with us and then came into the compound. And so the church people, right away met with him and started talking with him. So it was just a blessing to be able to minister together with them.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. And I'll keep you here. I do have Lupita in here. Maybe you can tell a little about her when we get to her, because she was so invaluable to us here. Okay, so again, I just a privilege to be with you tonight, because Tracy and I had the privilege of going to Mexico, but it is truly a part of Salem Bible Church to do that. You folks have been financially supporting to do this and praying to do this and encouraging us to do this. And so this is truly a ministry of the church itself, not just Tracy and I are doing missions. The Salem Bible Church is doing missions, and I really think it's a joint activity here. So just moving here down to where we went with Grace Dental Medical Missions, and this ministry now, this summer, I kind of wasn't paying attention to it, and I should have been, but we started in 1996, and this is our 25th year coming up this fall, and we've been using these tools in the mission to spread the gospel throughout the world. And it's just an amazing thing to have spent so much time in the work. It seems like 25 years has gone by so quickly. But since 1998, DDM Missions has been going down to Hermosillo, Mexico. And this is kind of a very important city for us, because it really started a transition in the mission. If you know Dr. Jock Mitchell, who started this mission back in 1996, he was originally a dentist who was going to help missionaries because there was not good dental care into the world. And he was actually going to the field to work with missionaries themselves. He was taking care of missionary dental hygiene. But over time, it seemed like there was an opportunity to use the same tool for the gospel's sake. And in 1998, going to Hermosillo, Mexico was the first attempt to see if that would work well. And that team went down. We went down, as Paul Mangum came with us at the time, was Northeastern School of Theology and Missions, as well as some people from Grace Bible Church. We had quite a team. We went down and did some work, some children's work, some evangelism down there. And Dr. Mitchell started using dental work on local people while other people were preaching the gospel. And that kind of opened the door for what we are doing today in this mission 25 years later, and has really grown up. If you look at the work of Dr. Stephen Boutrous and Katrina, and the work we've had in Benin and other parts of the world, we're just amazed at what God has done through the original thought of what this mission would be. Now, if you wonder where Hermosillo is, and some of you know because I've done this before, but if you go to Phoenix, Arizona, and just head south, and you keep going, eventually you'll bump into Hermosillo. It's in the Sonoran Desert. It's the same desert. If you know what Phoenix is like weather-wise, Hermosillo is basically the same thing. It's high desert plain. We love going down there in the winter. If I go in February, it's one less week of winter I have to endure in New England. I really like it. Sometimes it's cool down there, maybe in the 60s, and that seems really cold for down there. But if you're used to five below up here in New England, a 60 doesn't feel all that bad. But that's where it is, though. And it is quite a large city down there. And the picture coming up here, that's you and Tracy, right? This is Tracy and Mary Chase. And the reason I put this in here, you can see behind them how level the city is. Now, they're standing up on top of a telephone pole here, I think. Now, actually, if you go into Hermosillo, it is very, very level, but I think due to the Genesis flood, actually, when the Grand Canyon is just north of there, it seemed like all the silt in the Great Flood came down and leveled off the plains all the way down heading towards Mexico, and a few mountains were sticking up. And if you look around the terrain down there, you see miles and miles of flat, but every so often there's these hunks of rock that just stick straight up. And this one is right in the middle of the city that sticks straight up, and there's a contour road that goes around. You can drive up there, and we went up there, and it's just on our way to the airport. We've been there before, just sightseeing. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to look at, and you get a good view of the city. Now, I stay in the car because I'm afraid of falling off. I can't see well. Those of you know, I'm quite impaired visually. And so I just to play safe, I let them go up and do the walks, and I stay there and keep the car company. but that gives you a good view of the city and as well. So what do we have here as well? Well, originally we started working with EPIS, or Institute Practical Ebenezer. It is Ebenezer Practical Institute, and now they have a seminary there. And we worked with them originally, working with their missions outreach program. This is an excellent, excellent school. These people really love the Lord. And if you're what Tracy just mentioned about the people in the churches loving each other and really readily sharing the gospel. It is just fantastic to be with these people down there because they really love the Lord. And when we're with them, other than the language, we're doctrinally right down the line with them. When they play music, often we'll be in a groups and they will be playing a hymn and singing in Spanish, and we'll be there singing the same song in English, mixing the languages together because they sing the same hymns we do. And it is just a privilege to work with such godly people as we have there. Now, we've worked with the Institute for a long time, but we've got to know Pastor Isaac Alvarez with, we call it Betania. It's Iglesia Biblica Betania. That's the Bethany Bible Church. And there, both he and his wife attended the Bible Institute, and they started this church. They're very, very energetic. He's saying there's over 50 cities in his area in Sonora that he would like to see churches started in. And this man doesn't have a small vision for the work. He really wants. He really has. He's young. He still has the energy to try to spread the gospel as well. And here we have also with Adam Polk here on the other side. Adam is an American. He grew up in California, but he went to the Bible Institute. His brother is currently in the Bible Institute, and his sister Tabitha was in the Institute. She translated for us for many years. She's now, and she graduated, she married Pastor Francisco, isn't it?
Yeah.
Francisco. I don't know his last name. I should, but I don't. And then now, last time we were down in February, we went down a year ago this past February, and we worked with their church on evangelism in their neighborhood as well. But here's a picture of the pastor and his wife. His wife is Larice. Larice is, of all things, she's Lebanese in background. She's just, she's born in Mexico, but her family is from Lebanon. And she speaks fluent English. Now, Larice and I sometimes bump heads. She is just like me. She's very, very organized. But I like to do things like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in order, because I'm Microsoft Excel, if you know me. She is a little bit more relationship orientated. So I'll have all my tickets set up. I'm going to do cleaning 7 next. Well, she'll say, Mrs. Sanchez over there, she's got a baby with her. Maybe she should be next. You know, and she will try to change my order. So I have learned to work with her. I love her, and she puts up with me pretty much. And I tell her, you know, we're just alike. We bump heads. We'll work it out. But she's just a fantastic help. When we need a translator, she's there. But every time she shows up, things do change in the order that I have set up. So, but we live with that. And there, it's their mission field. It's their field. And we're just there to help. So I usually acquiesce if it's possible. But she always tries to get one more patient in, and the dentist's hand is ready to fall off because he can't do anymore. Or Mary's ready to pass out. But I have to be the tough guy and say, no, we can't do anymore. That's my job. So. Now, here's the picture of the team here. I put them together, and I'll explain each one as we go along here. But you can see up there who's who, and I'll just move on to the next and tell you who we have here. We have Brian Bell, who's the executive director of the mission, and, of course, Tracy. Tracy handles triage, but Tracy is much more valuable than that, and I don't want to embarrass Tracy here, but this trip doesn't come off without her work. All the pre-planning as far as medications and packing and so forth. Her and Brian worked together to get all that material together for both the dental and the medical side, that when we get to the field, all the medication is there. And the same thing with the Vinin Clinic, by the way. if it wasn't for the work of that Tracy does, the Bin Clinic would not be as well stocked as it is. So Tracy's invaluable to the work in the mission. And I don't think she could be duplicated in any way. And if she gets married and moves on, I'm going to be really in trouble. Okay, not to embarrass her in that as well. Now here is on I don't know which way it is, up to you. The older gentleman there is Dr. Jimmy Parkinson. He's out of Mississippi, and he is just the most delightful man you'd want to meet. He's just a godly, godly Christian man. He rooms with me. We share the rooms every time we go down, and I just love this guy. We get along so very. He's a very good dentist, and his son also travels on the teams with us. They're willing to do the dental work to see the gospel spread, but they also, when you don't see this happen, but if you were a missionary and you have a dental need, he invites you to his dental office. He'll pay for the dentist to clean the teeth. He will do crowns. And he never asks for a penny for people. He just does a tremendous amount of free dental work for the people to spread the gospel as well. Here we have Mary Chase, and I have her with somebody here. Because Mary is always with somebody. Mary is just, she's our dental hygienist, but she absolutely loves people. And although each person that comes to her dental chair has already sat with an evangelist, she reviews everything again with them while she's doing the teeth and while she's cleaning. She has a translator, explains while she's there, questioning them what they heard in the gospel. And if they're not saved, she'll tell them they need to be saved. And she'll give the gospel again and time again. Somebody may not have made a profession of faith. After they spend time with Mary, they go back to talk to the evangelist. And that's just, Mary is just, again, another person invaluable. She loves the Lord. And we just love her on our teams with us as well. And here we have Dr. Hurlbert and his wife, Beverly. He's a medical doctor. She handles our pharmacy. He's out of South Carolina. And his regular job, he works in a prison ministry a couple of days a week for income as well. So Dr. Chuck, he's our medical director with the mission. He's on the board of directors of the work in Benin as well. I think I need, Tracy, in that bag somewhere, can you find my, a bottle of water in there somewhere? There we go, thank you. I'm starting to, I know when I listen to the live stream, I can always tell when Pastor takes water because I can hear it on the tape. Even if I'm not looking directly at it. And just a quick word, I thank you all of you doing the streaming stuff. We were almost a year not in the work here, and I have not missed any services. Even the ones happened while I was in Mexico, I had the chance to make them up this week because they're all online. It's just amazing. I guess I don't talk a lot because I'm losing my voice here already. So, all right, that next picture here. And this terrorist here is me. It's not a very good picture. Not a lot of pictures got taken of me, but my job was just to keep the patients flowing, keep them in order. But I was outside all day, so that's why I have a hat on, I have a scarf on. And so I always had papers in my hands, always calling numbers. And so that was my job as well. On Sundays, we met in church, worshiped with the people there as well. And then in the afternoon, we do prep work. We get together and we have a pill counting party. And we get together and just put 10 of this and 20 of that in a bag. And Tracy tells us what.
Can I say something about
it? Go ahead.
It was just interesting to me. You were saying that they were a missions-minded church. They even have missionaries in Lebanon. They had missionaries. They support missionaries from, and I think they're all like Mexican missionaries that are sent out different places. So,
yeah, that first flag there would be, if you're facing the audience, facing the kind of the first one on the left is the flag of Lebanon. Is that right?
Yeah.
And Tracy noticed that right away. Yeah, her. She has a special love for that country. And here we are every morning. We kind of take over a small hotel, and the restaurant isn't open yet, but we go right through the bar, and they let us in, and we have our devotion time together in the morning. They get us coffee early, or we get it for us. They have the coffee put on, and this is a special time for us. We have coffee together, but we have great fellowship. We have a time in the Word and prayer together. We share what's on our hearts and minds and pray for things for the day, and it's really a special time for us to be together in the morning. That's what we do here. Now, again, we have here is Beverly in the pharmacy in the upper picture, and Tracy in the triage here. I took the picture when no one was sitting yet. She looks like she has nothing to do, but that wasn't the case most of the time. I we were outdoors, and again, the contrast of my eyes and the sun is pretty bad. I try to use my phone to take pictures, and I couldn't even see my phone, so I have very few pictures that I've taken myself, and so this is one of the few that I was able to take in. Here's Dr. Parkinson pulling somebody's tooth out, working there. Mary will be the next one coming up. Excuse me, yeah. Mary was doing the dental cleaning again and giving the gospel at the same time. She's never idle. And is Dr. Herbert doing some work? Any comment on this, what's happening here, Tracy? Or
This is just you seeing the baby.
Okay, yeah. So normally what somebody would come in and Tracy would get with a translator and find out what the need was, take the blood pressure and a few little tests, and then they would go in to see the doctor, and the doctor would talk to them. And then if any medication was needed, they'd take them to, send them to the pharmacy for medication as well. Now, here's a little picture of where we were. We were in a place called Pescada. And Pescada is in the middle of miles and miles and miles of vineyards. It was really good to be out there spreading the gospel in grapevines. It seems to be appropriate to, if we're thinking of John 15 and so forth. We were right in the middle of miles and miles of this. So, but because of that, we meet a lot of different farmers. The people who came in, a lot of people Tracy saw, were people may not even speak Spanish. They were from all over the country coming in, just whatever need was at that time as well. Go ahead.
And one of the biggest things we saw people coming in for was that actually because they spray a lot of chemicals and stuff on the vines and on different things, so a lot of them are coming in for like eye problems and skin problems and things like that. But it was a lot of like, I guess they have a lot of migrant workers that just come for that, for periods of time to work in the vineyards and in the different fields that they have there.
Yeah, different season would bring different groups of people. Sometimes they'd be there just to clean up the vines and get them tied up and prepared, and other times to be harvested or treating with chemicals and so forth. But this picture up here is why we do it. And these churches down there do it well. That's why we spend time with Pastor Alvarez, because he seems to really not waste the work that we do. Sometimes, you work with somebody and they may not quite get what you're doing and may not take full advantage of the work that's done, because it's expensive to go down there. It's time-consuming. But these people really follow up and do a good job with that as well. And this is what the clinic might look like. Oh, this is opening prayer. We usually get together in prayer in the morning. And you kind of get a good idea what the field was like. There was a beautiful tree there that gave us some shade all day. But it could be quite sunny. Although one day, unusual, we had a rainy afternoon. It came up and it started raining and windy, and it cooled off. It's unusual for down there. But all day there was chatter back and forth and people moving around. And there was two buildings. The church building you see there is the church building. On the opposite side was the Sunday school rooms, which we used as for clinics and pharmacy. And we had a daily meal. As Tracy mentioned, they prepared food for us. We walked down the dirt road to one of the church people's houses, and they put on a meal for us. And we had, I have the food. I didn't see it. My eyes don't work well. They cooked some sort of soup. So one on top of the potato soup, we had that on Monday. And something like that one, the other one was rice and beans and some vegetables. The food was very, very well done. And they've learned to cook for us the way that's safe for us. We're careful not to eat the greens down there and so forth, because you don't want to bring something home you didn't expect to have or ruin your day. But they, all these things is well cooked, and they do a wonderful job for us there as well. Now, this picture here, one of them is this trip, the one on my right. And the other one was from the trip before. I didn't take the picture out. So both of them have Tracy in them with a baby, but one baby was from November 2019. I don't know if you noticed that, Tracy, but that one's an older picture there. But Tracy always, she relates well with the patients as well. And here we have, this would be Friday evening. We get together with some people as well from the church. The pastor on the right up front there, Dr. Jimmy's on one side, my left, and that's Pastor Acedo and his wife. And the reason we invite them out to keep working with them We've done a lot of work with Pastor Sato's church. People from this church have been down as we were planting the church in San Bosco. We probably did 6 or 7 years of ministry with them, doing dental work as they were building their church. And down the other end, Adam is down the other end of the table with Francisco and Tabitha, Pastor Francisco and Tabitha, and Adam. And all these people we work with, as we continue to work with these people, to continue helping them start new churches and build the churches in that area as well. And here's Lupita, and you can mention about her.
Oh, yeah. So she was one of our translators. She actually translated for Dr. Chuck and me most of the time. She kind of bounced back and forth between the two of us, so she kept her pretty busy. But she speaks very good English, and she's a member from the church there. So she was really a blessing to have.
Sometimes I have a hard time remembering names, but I told her, I remember you as Short Peter. Lupita. But that's how I remember her name, and she laughed at me when I said that, but I always got her name right after that. But she's worked with us for several years down there. She's just, and these people in the church who can speak English are invaluable to us to help medical people do their job, and it's just, and they'll be there all day. They'll be all day with us as well. And I'll just end with this verse up here. Of course, you can see this, that it is commanded as churches that we go out and preach the gospel. And we are doing that here at Salem Bible Church. And it's a team effort between our pastor training us in this way, and teaching us the Word of God to be there. Those of you who pray and support the work, it's all our work to do this. And we're just privileged to be sent out by you to do that. And it's just a privilege to come back and report that. Now, Pastor, do we have time for questions, or am I running over? Okay, any questions you might have? Now, I may not see, those of you know, I'm legally blind, so if you're raising your hand, I may have no idea. So if you have a question, speak right up and ask a question. Anything out there?
There's one.
Okay, take it. Tracy found the hand. Go ahead. Okay. Oh, that's it. Malcolm. Okay, great. Malcolm, is mostly to do the people from the community. But if it slows down, it's not unusual to clean the teeth of some of the people who work at the registration table or something like that. But the majority that's done is for the purpose of evangelism and will be non-church members. Okay, is that right?
Yeah, most of them were non-church members. There was, I don't know if you want to explain it all, like Pasquita versus the church in Hermosillo.
All right, yeah, good question.
There was a few people from that church in Pasquita there.
The Pasquita is a mission church of the church in Hermosillo. It's about 45 minutes northeast of there. And we would drive out there every day, but also they would drive out there. Well, actually, some of them stayed overnight and slept in the church out there and stayed there. So we had a lot of people from Batania who were there ministering as interpreters, as registration, as evangelists. And so some of them would get treated occasionally. So a lot of the people there are not from Pasquita, although there are a few people who would regularly attend there. So, right? Yeah, it's absolutely a farming area. I had been out there back in the mid 2004, 2005, and it was even less of a, like right now, some of the streets actually have curbstones. Everything was dirt roads back there 15 years ago. But now it's a pretty, it'd be like camping for us if you lived out there, basically. It's a pretty rough, they have running water and electricity, but not too much else. You know, and there's no Walmart out there, anything like that. In Hermosillo, I know we passed two of them, and we have all the fast food places in Hermosillo. Is just under a million people there, and we have everything there. But out there, if you want lunch, you better bring it with you. So, anything else? You look. I see a hand. I think over there.
How would you describe the spiritual climate in the near Spartan? Is it still fairly Roman Catholic? Is it not extremely godless secularly?
You know, Ken, I don't really know it totally because I deal mostly with the church people, but I think there is quite a bit of Roman Catholicism there, but I don't think they're deeply into it. But I will say that the people we talk to are extremely gracious. If I try to give the gospel to people around here, it's usually like, get out of my face type thing, right? It's hard to give the gospel to people here. Down there, the people are very, very gracious and readily hear you. They will not refuse a tract if you give it to them. They will be very respectful to some, even if they don't want to understand the gospel or accept it. They will listen to the message as the evangelist or the pastor gives them the message. So their climate is much better than it is here. The education system, I think, is very good. They're still teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic in there as well. There's no critical race theory or anything like that in the schools. And, they're really teaching the people. They can count and read. I enjoy the people in Mexico. I tell them it's my second home down there when I go down and visit, because we get along well with the people. So, did that answer your question, Ken?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. I don't see any hands. So, Pastor, I guess we've run our course, and now turn things back over to you.
Thank you, Ray and Tracy. That was helpful. Why don't we open our hands?